other. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit upon you and empowering you. Verse 23 is difficult to understand. The Catholic Church ran with that verse and did terrible thing. God does not forgive people's sin because we say so. Neither does he withhold forgiveness because we will not grant it. We announce forgiveness. We do not provide forgiveness. Only God can do that. But we can announce it. If you see a person accepting Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, you can announce that his or her sins are forgiven. You can say, my brother, God has forgiven you all of your sin, and not be lying. You can announce it. God did the forgiveness, but you can announce it. Seeing a person mocking, rejecting Jesus Christ, you can announce that his sin are retained. They are not forgiven. The Catholic Church took that as a, and they made something confessional and all these things wrong. For whatever reason, Thomas did not make it to the meeting. Don't know where he was, but he was delayed. He was not there. And he lost a precious opportunity to see and to hear Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. He was not there. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You never know what you're going to miss. When told about the Lord, Thomas proudly refused to believe. I don't believe you guys. What are you talking about, the Lord coming here? He seemed to be outspoken. He seemed to be a pessimist. He would not believe unless three things would happen. He would want to see the print in the hand. He wanted to put his finger in the print of the nail. He wanted to put his hand in the side. That was the deal. To Thomas, seeing is believing. John continues the story. He says in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here we have the third manifestation, the third appearance of Jesus. It was a week or so later, 8 days. Jesus came again to the same place, and Thomas, the doubter, was there. Again, all the doors were locked. Verse 28. Jesus appeared in the midst, and again he said the same thing, peace to you. He came specifically for Thomas. He did not say anything to anybody else in the room. He went straight for Thomas. Obviously, he had heard what Thomas had said, even though Jesus was not in that room. He heard what Thomas said. And Thomas had been sad and sorrowful for 8 days. To him, the Lord is dead. He had not seen. He would not believe. He had no faith to believe. He was miserable. While the others had been glad and joyful, they had seen the Lord. See what Thomas missed. The Lord invited Thomas to do the things that he had said he wanted to do. We are not told if Thomas actually did put the finger in and the hand in the side or not. But the Lord told him to stop being unbelieving and be a believing man. Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas was born again that day, right there in the house. Then Jesus mentioned the last and greatest of all the Beatitudes. We know many Beatitudes, but the blessing of believing without having seen. Unfortunately, many Christians need to see miracles and wonder in order to believe. But the blessing here is for believing without seeing. And now the fourth and last part, the mission of John's gospel. John concludes the story. He says in verse 30, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So John confirmed that not all the miracles performed by Jesus are recorded in his book. If everything was written, the world could not contain all the books. John closed by saying the purpose, the mission of the gospel is two reasons: to give full proof of the divinity of Christ, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the other reason, that through him, every believing person might have eternal life. That believing, you may have life in his name. This is quite a story. In the previous chapter, we saw Jesus being mistreated. He was killed. He died a terrible death. And still, in spite of that, he rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples a few times, showing us that death is not the end. That should give you hope and remove all fear. Death will not keep you captive. Your soul will not go sleeping somewhere, and it will not be floating somewhere. The Bible promises that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus asked Mary an interesting question. "Why are you weeping?" he asked. Paul told the Thessalonians not to sorrow and weep like those who have no hope. It is not over when people die. It was not over when Jesus died. It will not be over when you die. We did not lose them. We know exactly where they are. They have simply relocated, and soon we will be reunited with them. What a hope we have. No matter how we die, eaten up by cancer, totally smashed in a car accident, we have the assurance and the guarantee that we shall live with God forever and ever. We are going to have a new glorified body, just like Jesus had. We may not know how we are going to go, but we sure know where we are going to go. There is no need to be afraid of death. Death does not end anything. It is the beginning of something great if you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. God is not waiting for you with a huge baseball bat to punish you for your sin. Jesus paid the price for all those sins. You have eternal life in him. So do not be sad. It is not over when you die. You do not lose everything. You do not lose everyone. You will not be bound by death. Because Jesus lives, you will live also. Jesus conquered death. Quite a story we have today. That last week we saw what they did to Jesus. How they pulled his hair, pulled his beard, how they hit him, how they pierced him. And we left him there in a tomb, in a garden. But we come this week and we see a total different picture. He is not dead. Whatever they did to him did not finish him. He came out with a better body. And no matter what cancer is going to do to us or a car accident or whatever, they're not going to finish us. We are going to continue. We are going to leave that carcass, whatever it stays, and we go to be with the Lord and live forevermore with him. Unbelievers do not have such hope. They do not have such comfort. They're really miserable people. They don't know if they have done enough good to make it into heaven. They don't know what's going to happen when they die. They don't know about a glorified body. And I've seen people as a chaplain for the police department for 30 years. I've seen people dying who were believers, and I've seen people dying who were unbelievers, and it is day and night. Totally different. The believer's got a smile on his face. No fear. He or she knows exactly where he or she is going to be with the Lord. The other one is afraid of, because he sees the darkness coming around him slowly, and he's afraid. But not us. We know that death is not the end. We know we continue. We know the plan of God. We know what he's going to do with us. We know what he's going to give us. He's going to give us a new body. He has a plan for us. There are billions of galaxies, billions of stars. Why are they there? We cannot even go there. God has a plan for us, and we're going to see the plan. We're going to see all that glorious thing that is up there. He has a great future for us. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. Bless your home, your family, your work, and may